भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत ऑफ Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We need some weight on here. This is Antya Lila, chapter 3, text 152. Reading a few verses after that. Now, I'm going to read it with Bengali pronunciation, which is not phonetic with the English. So please listen and try and repeat, because it is, after all, a Bengali book. Shibok Bole Goshai More Patailo Khan, Grihoshte, Ghare, Tomai, Dibo, Bashashtan, Shebok Bole Goshai More Pathailo Khan, Grihoshte, Ghare, Tomai, Dibo, Bashashtan, Shebok bale goshai more pathaila khan.
Shebok bale goshai more pathaila khan.
Grihoshte ghare tomai dibo bashashtan.
Grihoshte ghare tomai dibo bashashtan.
You have this Chaitanya Charitamrita reading every Saturday, is it?
Saturday and Sunday.
So just in case you forgot what's going on, in the meantime, Sri Nityananda Prabhu is traveling in Bengal with his party and has come to a village in which the landlord is Ramachandra Khan, who has sent a servant. And the servant informed Lord Nityananda, "My dear sir, Ramachandra Khan has sent me to accommodate you in some common man's house," which is an insult because he should be received in the best house. So I have to read through till verse 162. So I'll just read the English translations. "You might go to the house of a milkman, for the cowshed is spacious, whereas the space here in the Durga Mandap is insufficient, because you have many followers with you." In other words, it's insulting, an insulting way to receive Nityananda Prabhu, indirectly saying, "We don't want you here, you're not welcome." Then continuing, "When Nityananda Prabhu heard this order from the servant of Ramachandra Khan, he became very angry and came out, laughing very loudly. He spoke as follows: Ramachandra Khan has spoken rightly. This place is unfit for me. It is fit for cow-killing meat-eaters." Having said this, Lord Nityananda stood up and left in an angry mood. To chastise Ramachandra Khan, he did not even stay in that village. Yeah, it looks very bad for a respectable person in the village if some guest comes, especially a saintly person, and out of anger that guest leaves without staying, without eating, without even taking a drop of water. So it's very inauspicious to receive a guest in such a way. And in Bengali culture up to the present day, Indian culture in general, atithi bhava, what is it? Deva bhava. Then the guest, especially an uninvited guest, is to be considered just like God. So it's very bad behavior. It reflects very badly on the person who doesn't receive a guest properly. So continuing. Ramachandra Khan ordered the servant to dig up the dirt in the place where Lord Nityananda had sat. This is extremely offensive. The idea that Lord Nityananda was impure and therefore the place where he sat should be purified. This idea would come from the idea of the smartas there in Bengal and elsewhere, that a sannyasi is very inauspicious. To leave one's family life is against dharma, according to the judgment of certain smartas. When Shankaracharya, young boy, came to Mahishmati Pura, there was Mandana Mishra. He was going to debate with him, but Mandana Mishra thought it was very inauspicious that a sannyasi had come. So that's the attitude. Translation. To purify the Durga Mandap temple and the courtyard, Ramachandra Khan sprinkled and smeared it with water mixed with cow dung, but still his mind was unsatisfied. He thought it was so impure that even water and cow dung is not sufficient to purify it. So, Ramachandra Khan's business was questionable, for he tried to avoid paying income tax to the government. Therefore, the government's minister of finance was angry and came to his residence. The Muslim minister made his residence in the Durga Mandap of Ramachandra Khan. He killed a cow and cooked the meat at that very place. He arrested Ramachandra Khan along with his wife and sons, and then he continuously plundered the village, the house and village for 3 days. In that very room, he cooked the flesh of a cow for 3 consecutive days. Then the next day, he left accompanied by his followers. I'm going to read another 2 verses because the punchline comes after 2 verses. The Muslim minister took away Ramachandra Khan's position, wealth, and followers. For many days, the village remained deserted. And then text 164. Mohanter apaman je desha grame hoy ek jana doshe shab desh ujaroi. Wherever an advanced devotee is insulted for one man's fault, the entire town or place is afflicted. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Nama Shrishtam, Manamapi Shachiputramatra Surupam, Rupam Tasyagaramurupuring Maturim Goshtavatim, Radha Kundam Girivaramaho, Radhika Matavasham, Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya, Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi, Vandeham Shri Guru, Shriyatav Padagamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakarvitamstra Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the sweetest of books. Madhurja Bhagavata Shah. Therein we are informed that transcendental sweetness is the essence of God being God. But there are some portions also which might not seem so very sweet. This is one of them, where Ramachandra Khan, who was a great offender to Haridas Thakur previously, and now to Nityananda Prabhu, gets his just deserts. And the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita warns us that in any place where a great personality is offended, the whole place becomes devastated. So clearly this is a very strong warning against Vaishnava Aparad. You all know that the offense to Vaishnavas. Of course, Nityananda Prabhu is more than a Vaishnava. He's Vishnu. He's taking the role of a Vaishnava. And Ramachandra Khan, he was also, well, he was offensive to Nityananda Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu's followers and previously to Haridas Thakur. So it's a very strong warning against Vaishnava Aparad. So it would seem the obvious subject that I should speak today about Vaishnava Aparad. It's be warned against that. There are also warnings in Chaitanya Charitamrita about obstacles on the path of devotional service. There are warnings against deviation from the proper line of devotional service. We used to hear much about deviation. One of the words that, when I was admitted into Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, one word that I started to hear a lot more than I, of course, I was familiar with the word, but I started to hear it a lot more after being allowed to join, was the word speculation. It's one of those words that devotees, at least previously, used to use a lot. Don't speculate, Prabhu. We were all regularly warned against that. And Srila Prabhupada, along with bringing the joy of bhakti, he also warned us against various deviations. And we used to hear a lot of that. Maybe sometimes we went overboard on devotees. And in the name of pointing out deviation, became offensive to devotees. And nowadays, yeah, it seems we've gone the other way. There's a lot of warning against Vaishnava Aparad, is there not? You hear a lot about that, which is proper. But there is a problem with that, which in investigating the pastimes and teachings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I became very much aware of that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a large part of his mission was Rupa Anugavi Ruddha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari, taking away removing the darkness which was brought in by the wrong teachings that are deviant from those of Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very strong against all kinds of deviations in the name of following Rupa Goswami, and he was very much down on Prakrita Sahajiyas and Mayavadis and all kinds of persons who were actually offending Srila Rupa Goswami by their deviant teachings. So Srila Prabhupada himself was legendarily strong in his condemnation, his chastisement. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes would say very strong things, even about other Vaishnavas, especially about his godbrothers. Not all of them, but he would say that many of them are envious. And he made in some cases, some humorous, insulting remarks about some of them, which need not be repeated here. He also warned us as his disciples not to repeat such things. But he spoke that so that we, his disciples, not be misled by others who, for instance, did not want to give Srila Prabhupada any land in Mayapur, who wanted to present themselves as the actual preachers all over the world and take credit away from Srila Prabhupada, and who opposed his being honored by his disciples by the title Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada was very strong like that. And naturally his disciples also picked that up. As Srila Prabhupada, of course, he was not only strong against Vaishnavas, he was very strong against Rupa Anugavi Radha Apasiddhanta, against all kinds of teachings that were opposite to those of, or deviant from those of Srila Rupa Goswami, which means pretty much everything in the world. Prithivite Choto Kichu Dharma Nama Chole Bhagavata Kahe Taha Paripurna Chole. In the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whatever is going on in the world in the name of dharma or religion, it's pretty much all cheating, that's all. So Srila Prabhupada regularly used words like rascals, fools, demons, two-legged animals, nonsense, and so on. And naturally, we, his followers, got used to that kind of vocabulary. And nowadays, we don't so much. We're more careful. We're more careful about making offenses, which it may have been that we were imbalanced previously. It may be that we're imbalanced the other way now, because as we often heard it said, although it's not specifically recorded, Srila Prabhupada said to see with one good eye and one bad eye. If we only see everything is all good, of course that is the vision of a topmost devotee, that he sees, he doesn't see any bad in anyone except himself. He sees that everyone is serving Krishna. But for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness, we have to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. We're distributing so many books in which Bhagavad Gita, we're distributing in which in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly distinguishes between that which is proper and that which is not proper, which is to be done and that is what is not to be done. Pravritting cha nivritting cha janana vidur asuraha, those who are demoniac, Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita. They do not know what is proper behavior or improper behavior. Adharmam dhamma mitiya manyase tamasa vrita, persons in the mode of ignorance, they cannot discriminate between what is proper, what is dharma, and what is adharma. They mix it all up. And generally, sarvartan viparitang, they generally get it all back to front. They get it all wrong. So it's required that we discriminate also, because if we just, like the sahajiyas do, or as the predominant culture of Vaishnavism in Bengal, there's the idea, it's very prominent, non-judgmentalism. Don't say anything about anyone, just see everyone's a Vaishnava, and whatever anyone does, it's all divine. So this attitude is dangerous. The attitude of wanting to find fault and unnecessarily criticize Vaishnavas, that is very dangerous. That is being warned about in this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's also very dangerous to be totally blind to all faults. We may think, well, it's safer to not make any offense and not see any harm, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. That's not a Vaishnava saying. Where does that come from? Some Buddhist idea, is it? I think so. Three monkeys. Where's that from? Anyone know? What's the origin of that? No one. Some rascal. So it seems that previously we thought we were impervious to aparad, that we could just, like Prabhupada did, refer even to Vaishnavas as rascals. But it is spiritually unhealthy to always look for the bad in others, fault finding. There's another Ramachandra, this glorious name Ramachandra. We have two in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramchandra Khan, who was a great offender to Vaishnavas, and Ramachandra Puri, who was a godbrother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru, but who his main interest in life was finding faults, even in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his followers. So either way, it's an imbalance. It's spiritually unhealthy, both as individuals and as a movement. If we, on one hand, if we're only looking for the bad in others, as Srila Prabhupada said, that or part of his, or a major key to his magic in bringing the most unlikely people to Krishna consciousness was, as he said, find a spark, a little spark of interest in Krishna consciousness, and fan that spark. So Srila Prabhupada was looking for that little spark of Krishna consciousness to fan it. So if we'd simply look for fault, well, it's very easy to find. We're probably quite expert in doing that. So that becomes imbalanced. On the other hand, if we become completely impervious to any deviations, and we think that, well, whatever, as long as someone's got tilak on, or even if they don't have tilak on, then whatever they do, it's all good. It's all blissful. It's all lila. It's all pastimes. We can't understand. Vaishnavera kriya mudra bigeha nabuja. We're also warned that the topmost devotee, we cannot understand. Even a learned person of this world cannot understand his actions, his intentions, his words. So we want to be careful. This can have very serious consequences, as happened in New York, at the ISKCON Temple in New York sometime in the early 1970s, I don't know exactly when. When the wife of the GBC was having chicken cooked in the temple and offered to Krishna, among other things. And it took a long time for anyone to complain, because they thought, he's the GBC. And word was going around that he was an incarnation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, that's an example of glazy-eyed, not seeing any faults. When Srila Prabhupada came, he said that it was good for the neophyte or beginners to have the attitude to follow the GBC. But the older devotees should have said something. They were just waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come, which took weeks and weeks. This was going on for a long time. There was one devotee who stood out and said something. Gopal Krishna, who's now Gopal Krishna Goswami, is the only one who said anything. Is this really proper that we should? But most others thought it must be spiritual, because it's the GBC doing. Experience in ISKCON should teach us that whatever a senior devotee does is not necessarily on the level of Lord Nityananda, who's featured here in this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That we have to be very respectful, follow the general principle of following authority, at the same time just be realistic that not everyone is a great devotee of Krishna, or even they may be great in their efforts, but Maya is also very great, And there is a difference between right and wrong. It's not that someone, just by becoming a devotee or taking up the process of devotional service, becomes completely free from all vices and becomes unquestionable. To be expected, Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter. He wrote in one letter about Bhagatji. This Vishvamba Dayal was a great friend of the devotees in Vrindavan in the 1970s and helped in many, many ways to establish the Krishna Balaram temple there and the Gurukul. And one letter came to Srila Prabhupada in February 1977, I believe it was. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back that Bhagatji is becoming fed up with ISKCON politics. But you should know that whenever there are a group of men, there will be politics. So Srila Prabhupada was realistic about that. But he also warned about it. And I'm going to read three quotations from Srila Prabhupada's books. These are not from letters, these are from Srila Prabhupada's books. So if we go through Srila Prabhupada's books, we'll come across such statements. They're not usually the kind of statements that get read out in morning class in the temples, but they are warnings to us. Srila Prabhupada wrote in his purport to Madhyalila, chapter 1, text 220 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many mundane persons in the dress of Vaishnavas, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described them as disciples of Kali. And just two verses prior to that, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, "A mundane person in the dress of a Vaishnava should not be respected, but rejected. This is enjoined in the Shastra, Upeksha. Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha. Dvishatsu." Those who are envious, they should be rejected. This is the Shastric statement. So going back to the quote from Srila Prabhupada's purport, the word upeksha means neglect. One should neglect an envious person. A preacher's duty is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friendship with Vaishnavas, show mercy to the innocent, and reject or neglect those who are envious or jealous. There are many jealous people in the dress of Vaishnavas in this Krishna consciousness movement, and they should be completely neglected. There is no need to serve a jealous person who is in the dress of a Vaishnava. Then, from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text 28, the purport, "There are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, but a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis, although the karmis may dress like devotees. A karmi, although externally working like a devotee, is entangled in his non-devotional activity, and thus he suffers the tribulations of material existence." This is not the most inspiring kind of talk. Generally, you might expect much inspiration as you go on with your service, a very important services you're doing here for years and years and years, from central London, going out on Harinam Sankirtan, distributing books, which is a great service. What should be done from here? You're all doing great service. I don't want to discourage you, so go on, spread the holy names, distribute the books. But at the same time, we shouldn't be naive. It's not the kind of, it's not the kind of thing that we want to dwell on very much. But at the same time, we should know that there have been many people who have joined this movement, given years of their life, very enthusiastically serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, and in due course have gone away being disappointed by the behavior of devotees who they very much respected and looked up to. I'm not talking about only about gross fall downs of leading devotees, but behavior that would not be expected. So devotees become disenchanted. There's English word disenchanted. Enchanted means something like being in love. You just, everything's so wonderful, so nice. And of course, Krishna consciousness is wonderful and nice, but as Srila Prabhupada warns here, it's not necessarily that everyone in the Krishna consciousness movement is here with a sincere motive, simply to serve Krishna. Most of us have some kind of mixed motive, and most of us, even if we're trying very sincerely, we have residual material desires which may become expressed in activities or behavior that is not suitable for Vaishnavas. So this might not affect you very much here in this temple here, because the only way to stay here in this temple for years and years, as you are all doing, is to be completely into Krishna consciousness. And who would want to stay in the kind of situation you're staying in? If you could go somewhere else which is more comfortable, who would want to stay in such a situation? Unless you want to serve the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of Srila Prabhupada by bringing the holy names of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's books to the grossly suffering living beings, which is very apparent here. If we go to the manor, it's not far away, but there's I'm talking about the outside ambience of the karmi world, the big bad world out there. It's much more pleasant, which is why people spend a lot of money to buy houses in villages like Lechmore Heath. Very pleasant, and life seems nice, especially in the summer. But here in central London, life is intensely nasty. And everyone looks as if they're stressed out all the time, and they probably are. That's life in London, and for some reason or other, people from all over the world want to come and live here. I guess that's an indictment on the rest of the world, isn't it? If people want to come here, well, it's probably a lot better than living in Syria. Want to go there? Who wants to go there and preach? Anyone want a lot of mercy? So anyway, you're all here to serve Krishna. I don't doubt that. I'm not saying that to get on anyone's in particular's case. It's just that I was told that I have to speak on this, and I thought, oh, I should speak about Vaishnava Aparad, obvious. And I thought, well, nowadays we hear a lot about Vaishnava Aparad, and maybe it's gone the other way. We didn't used to hear much about it. Now we hear a lot about it, but we don't hear much about that speculation, Prabhu. You just have to follow Prabhupada. We don't hear much about that. We do hear a lot about, that's a different way of preaching and this and that. I'm afraid that we have invented so many different ways of preaching that the original way has become different. It's become unusual. Not here, because here, all glories to successive temple presidents, the book distribution and Harinam, and prasad distribution, and festivals. These are the core preaching activities of the Krishna consciousness movement that Srila Prabhupada inaugurated in line with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wishes. The Sankirtan movement means primarily chanting the holy names together and in public, and to the definition of Sankirtan has been added distribution of spiritual books, Srila Prabhupada's books, because the books glorify Krishna. We distribute these books because they glorify Krishna. So, mercifully, you're saved from the onslaught of this very nasty Kali Yuga, which this is one of the capitals of Kali Yuga. London, New York, Berlin, these are all capitals. Now in New York City, again, daily Harinam is going on. It never stopped here. In New York, it stopped for many years. It's going on in New York City again. And we'll be very happy when New York City goes past London in book distribution, and then you'll all, oh, what's going on? Then you'll all want to distribute more. Have some transcendental competition going on. Srila Prabhupada very much promoted that. But just little words of warning, I'm saying they're very heavy words. They're from Srila Prabhupada himself, because that's the reality that almost everyone who's been in this movement for many years, they experience. It seems almost inevitable that at some point we'll either directly or indirectly experience some dealings which seem to be more suitable for Ramachandra Khan than Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as senior devotees, we have that title because we've been around for some time, we'll say that anyone who's been in this movement for many years in relation to others, they would have everyone has directly or indirectly, means either to themselves or to others who they know, or maybe they themselves were perpetrators of behavior which would be enough. If you were, say, working for some business or something, you're just, well, that's enough, I'm quitting. I'll go and get a job somewhere else. I'm not staying here. And many have quit ISKCON to go to various other Gauriya or Vaishnava movements, or quit Krishna consciousness altogether. Of course, we may say, well, that's insincerity, but the trigger for that leaving and going away has been behavior which is unsuitable for a Vaishnava, which we would call Vaishnava Aparad. So we should be very careful of Vaishnava Aparad. At the same time, well, not just Aparad, but not direct Aparad. Of course, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master is also a great offense. But it may be, as Srila Prabhupada warned again and again and again, just follow what he has given, which is in line with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Don't invent something. He used to speak about the fertile brains of his disciples, fertile in the sense that very expert in dreaming up all kinds of things which are unnecessary. So, Hare Krishna. Sadhu Savdhan. Be careful, devotees. Be careful. Just see what Srila Prabhupada has given. Let us follow that. Hare Krishna.
To make this class end sweetly.
End sweetly. Madhurena samapayat. Say something sweet.
Give the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sachi Mata.
Give the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sachi Mata. Yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even warned his mother that she was offensive to Advaita Acharya and told her, you won't get Krishna Prem. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Krishna Prem to the whole world, but he told his mother, you won't get it. How can he deny her? Because she's full of love for him. But she was inimical to Advaita Acharya because she presumed that because of Advaita Acharya's preaching to her first son, Vishwarup, that Vishwarup had left home and taken sannyas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then you'll have to fall at the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya and beg for his mercy, put the dust of his feet on your head. Then only you can get Krishna prayer. You can be forgiven. But Advaita Acharya wasn't going to give the dust of his feet to her. So she managed to get the dust of those feet when he passed out in ecstasy once, and then she was absolved. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself one time came and beat up Advaita Acharya for speaking Mayavad philosophy.
And sweetly, Maharaj.
It's all sweet. This is Chaitanya Bhagavad. It's all sweet. That's also a misconception that only what we conceive of being sweet is sweet. Actually, it's very sweet because of Advaita Acharya. He didn't want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to honor him, and he couldn't think of any better way to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to dishonor him and show his love for him in another way than speaking Mayavad. What could upset Chaitanya Mahaprabhu more? So he started preaching from the Yoga Vashishta, which is a work apparently about Ram Leela, but actually it's all a bunch of Mayavad hogwash. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and beat him, and then he became very happy. Oh, good, thank you. Now you're treating me with real affection. We're enjoined to be polite. But if someone chastises one out of love, that's a sign that he's accepted. Srila Prabhupada was well known for chastising, and certain of his disciples got a lot of it. But mostly the ones who Srila Prabhupada trusted that they could take it. So that's a sign of being accepted also. There's chastisement with love, there's the chastisement of the mother to the child, and there's the chastisement of the... that example Srila Prabhupada gave. Srila Prabhupada gave is a traditional example, that the kitten is in the mouth of the cat and feeling very nice. Ah, now my mother has caught me. And the mouse is in the same thing, hanging down by the neck, but the mouse knows this is death for me. It's the same person, but with a different attitude. So that's also to think that the chastisement of Chota Haridas is not sweet is also a misunderstanding. Everything that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does is very sweet. But there are different rasas. Madhurya is the... Yes, sweet, that's the essence. But there's also bibhatsa, disgust, viraras, fighting mood. There are different moods. They're all there. It's all part of the experience of life. And spiritual life also. Everything is there, not one-sided. Hare Krishna. Anyone like to say anything? Yeah, please. Yeah. Yeah, there's a hand right behind you, Vai. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Very insightful class, very relevant class. I have a comment and a question. In reference to the incident in New York City, 72, there's one...
1972. Were you there?
No, but I certainly know about it.
Yeah.
And there was one letter that Prabhupada wrote, I don't remember who to, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, it was something to the effect that Prabhupada said that one has to have proper discrimination to understand what is right from wrong.
Right.
That one should surrender by one's intelligence, but one should not surrender one's intelligence.
Very important point. One should surrender by one's intelligence, but one should not surrender one's intelligence. Krishna consciousness is not meant for blind faith. Not meant for blind faith.
Okay, so my question is, certainly there are senior devotees who are concerned about these changes and sometimes referred to as mission drifts within ISKCON, and they want to say something, But they're always, you know, want to be cautious not to commit Vaishnava Aparadha also. So how can a devotee who's concerned about these things...
How can a devotee who's concerned about these things...
Know the difference between constructive criticism...
Know the difference between constructive criticism...
Unnecessary fault-finding...
And unnecessary fault-finding. Well, Srila Prabhupada quoted Lord Jesus Christ to hate the sin and not the sinner. But often they're very difficult to extricate from each other because it, after all, it's people who do things. It's not just ideas. You can point out the idea is wrong, but then if someone implements a wrong idea, that's also wrong. About deviation, I've been thinking about this a lot for many years. The roadshow was an innovative preaching initiative in which devotees did a drama and songs with heavy rock music, which was popular at the time. And Srila Prabhupada went to a performance and he approved it. And it had brought a Krishna conscious message, and Srila Prabhupada approved it. After some time, he sent a letter saying, stop this roadshow. Again, I'm paraphrasing. What is all this nonsense? We are simple Hari Kirtan men, that's all. We should just do Kirtan with mridangas and kartels. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness like that, and who are we to try to do anything else? That's the gist of the letter. So the same thing that at one point he approved, later he stopped it and said it was a deviation. So at what point does something become a deviation? If something goes off slightly tangentially, we might say, well, okay, that's acceptable because it's not very far away and we're close enough to the line that we can see where the line is. But at what point going on away, 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 you get so far away from the line that it doesn't seem to have any relationship with the line. Ultimately, that has to be arbitrated by the acharya. Who will say? It's subjective. So there's no fixed way, but in general, we can say that if people come to Krishna consciousness and practice the yoga dharma with the understanding of Krishna consciousness that we receive from Srila Prabhupada, then that should be acceptable. Of course, then people would have different opinions about what the understanding of Srila Prabhupada is. We may say if we get people to chant Hare Krishna, that's good. Maybe. The followers of Sai Baba, they also chant Hare Krishna. But they're not making spiritual. They're, it's all Nam Aparad because they think that Sai Baba is Krishna. So, is it good or is it not good? It's much easier to bring people to pure devotional service who don't have so many misconceptions to start off with.
Like us, in the beginning days.
And yeah, the Srila Prabhupada said that. And he said it's easier in the West because I just tell them and they accept it. Whereas in India, the whole of Hinduism is an elaborate construction to be pious and at the same time not surrender to Krishna. Is the same thing going on in and around ISKCON today? Being pious without surrender to Krishna. Surrender means to only do that which is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness. For instance, to give an example, it's a major point of Vaishnava culture to only eat prasadam. And prasadam means that which is cooked by devotees for the pleasure of Krishna, offered to Krishna with love and devotion. That rule is not only not emphasized, but sometimes, so I've heard, it's told that, oh, don't follow that, don't be too strict, don't be a fanatic. So that is an example of anti-surrender preaching. within our movement, and it seems to be quite widespread. Another thing is, it seems to be common nowadays that devotees don't fast on Janmashtami and Gaur Purnima, which if someone's sick or old or very young, maybe, but otherwise the rule is there. So these kind of things. It's ominous signs. Anything else? Yeah. Cow killing is condemned in the scriptures. Certainly is.
It is going on all over the world, including India. Why is it?
Going on all over the world, including in India. Why is it going on? Why is the material world going on? Because everyone's envious of Krishna. There are degrees of envy. Would you think that it would be all right if the world was going on without cow killing? Would that be all right? It's also still sinful, isn't it? Everything in this material world is sinful. Expect in Kali Yuga cow killing. Expect it. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, not that it's good, but expect it. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave the example in the rainy season in India, which is going on now. Or throughout the year in England, you may expect rain. So you keep an umbrella. You can't stop the rain, but you can keep an umbrella. So the same thing in Kali Yuga, we can expect all bad things to be there. We can't expect to stop it all, but we can chant Hare Krishna and keep ourselves free. And to what extent we can try to stop that also. Say something sweet and we'll finish.
No,
I'm not good at saying sweet things. So you say it. You say it for me.
Okay, all right. So, when Lord Caitanya rejected his mother Sachima, the devotees were the most shocked because they're saying, who can reject their mother? I mean, the father you might have some fight with, but nobody rejects the mother. So they were thinking, we have to try to find a way to catch so Sati Mata can get Lord Caitanya's mercy again. So then the devotees, they brought her to Shantipur, to Advaita's house, and they hit her. And then, when Advaita was doing his normal dance, whenever he was to dance in ecstasy for Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu, thinking about him, he would crash to the ground and fall unconscious for some minutes. And so they arranged for her to come at that time, and then when she did, when he fell down unconscious, she was able to take his foot dust, because he would never give. So the sweetness of this is how all the devotees came together to try to find a way, oh, this will work, yes, then Mahaprabhu will give her mercy again. So is that sweet enough, Maharaj?
I could also comment something.
No, class is over now.
We should see both sides also. In the case of Chota Haridas, all the devotees also tried to intervene, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't relent.
He wouldn't budge. Yeah.
And even when he got the news that Haridas had committed suicide, he said, okay, good.
Yeah, Sannyas Ashram, he would not compromise.
No. So, be careful.
That's sweet.
I didn't look this side. Are there any questions?
I just want to ask
you.
Maharaj, you said devotees arranged to a situation where Sachi Mata can get the dust from the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya. So I want to say that touching lotus feet of Vaishnavas without his permission is also an offense. So, if they arranged, but it was not with the permission of...
Where is it said in Shastra that to touch the lotus feet of a Vaishnava without permission is an offense?
Ah. Speculation. Good, Maharaj. That's even sweeter. Hey, we're waiting.
Not convinced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then what time is we supposed to finish? What's the cutoff time?
Well, normally till 9 o'clock can go on.
Okay. All right then.
Thank you, Maharaj, for advice.
That's become a standard saying. Yeah. Whatever nonsense anyone's here to say it.
No, as you mentioned, a few points, I thought they're very relevant. As I see, a lot of people have gone through Western education. We are, you know, taught.
We've all been through Western education. We're all filled up with this nonsense.
And so we have got a lot of people have got critical mindset. You know, even when we become devotees, we always see others, and we have, you know, discrimination, which becomes so sharp-edged that you immediately spot, because you become so tuned to spotting mistakes of others, but sometimes you just don't say it. But, you know,
that's not only a characteristic of Western education.
Any
discrimination is required.
Yes, so
the major part of education is to instill discrimination.
And critical thinking, that is what is
critical thinking is strong in India, not in India so much.
But Indians also do Western education these days. So
yeah, but it's not the humanities. It's just engineering, medicine, accounting, whatever can get them a job.
Yeah. So, Maharaj, you know, when you mentioned the point that we have to be very careful,
this critical thinking comes up in the humanities side.
So, in this context, you said, you know, in the early days the devotees were too much, or don't say anything. Now it's on the
maybe too much critical. Yeah.
So how do we?
Although Srila Prabhupada, he didn't try to check that tendency. I don't have any record of Srila Prabhupada telling devotees that you shouldn't refer to others as demons, karmis, mudhas. But it was widely perceived that, one thing is that it might not be very effective preaching to all the time get on people's case like that. Another thing is that our own movement, we had enough of our own internal problems that to take the holier-than-thou position was not very suitable. Holier-than-thou, do you all understand what that means? It means condescending. Yeah, then anything? There's a question there.
I would like to know what are the symptoms or the consequences for a person who did offenses willingly and unwillingly.
What are the symptoms of the? What are the consequences of a person who does an offense willingly and unwillingly? The greatest consequence is that one will be blocked from in one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. Here, let's say, I probably lost the page here, that there may be physical consequences also, just like it stated that the whole village of Ramachandra Khan became devastated and desolate because of his offense. But it took some time. When he insulted Haridas Thakur, he didn't immediately get a bad offense, a bad effect, so he thought he could get away with it.
Suppose, Maharaj, if we see gross consequences of deviating from Srila Prabhupada's line, so how to tell such devotees that it is wrong?
How to tell devotees that it's wrong? If you find out, let me know.
What Maharaj is actually saying is, you pass it up to senior devotees. Don't take it on your own to do it. That's what Maharaj is actually saying.
No.
Really? So what did you mean, Maharaj, when you said
that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, if we point out things that when Srila Prabhupada was here would be considered clearly and obviously wrong, and nowadays it's considered okay. So what to do? Just have to emphasize that we're supposed to follow Srila Prabhupada. This is what Srila Prabhupada said. This is different. And then hope that people have the intelligence and sincerity to recognize that. That's as much as you can do. You wanted to say something?
I'm allowed another question.
Yeah, there's another 8 minutes according to that clock.
Okay, but it's a different direction. Here in this verse, it says, wherever an advanced devotee is insulted for one man's fault, the entire town or place is afflicted. So in a similar way, if a institution fault finds a very advanced devotee, does the institution become afflicted?
Okay, I'll repeat that. Just as for the fault of one person, the whole village becomes afflicted, for the fault of one devotee, can the whole institution become afflicted?
If the institution
finds fault in an advanced devotee,
does the institution then become afflicted with a collective Vaishnava?
Would the institution become afflicted with a collective Vaishnava aparad? Laws of karma, the laws of nature, the laws of God. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
But then how does that aparad become remedied if that Vaishnava passes away?
Oh, how does that become remedied if that Vaishnava passes away? Then the it becomes very difficult. In the course of preaching, there may be some hurly-burly. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada himself showed the example of apologizing to some of his godbrothers, he said. But with the idea that in the course of preaching, you have to say some things and do some things which, according to strict Vaishnava etiquette, one shouldn't do. And of course, Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers accepted that everything he did was for preaching Krishna consciousness. Yeah. One has to be careful, but in not to commit Vaishnava aparad. One also has to be careful to protect devotees from being misled by certain kinds of propaganda. Just like, for instance, certain eminent Vaishnavas have passed away from this world, and from within ISKCON we'd feel much more comfortable now in recognizing them as great devotees than we did when they were present, because while they were present, they were perceived as a political threat.
Sweetly, Maharaj, sweetly.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Sri Sri Radha Nandanishwara, Sri Giri Govardhan, Sri Jagannath Subhadra Baladev, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai, Srila Prabhupada, all the acharyas, and all the assembled devotees. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.